There he was, 6½ feet, ugly as sin, up to the eyeballs in cheap rum, bottle in one hand, boat hook in the other.
And where were the other officers?
Below deck.
Oh.
He calls me names would bring a blush to your maidenly cheek, Jean Brash.
As bad as that, eh?
His intention was to sink the hook into the top of my skull, wrench it off and throw both hook and head into the boiling ocean.
Boiling, was it?
Foul winds and high water. The rum bottle was still half full. So I suggested to the enraged Titan that he finish off the contents before he did the same to me. That he did. The ship lurched and he fell down on his face dead drunk.
Jack Brain and the stories you tell.
Yeah, everyone true to my breeding.
What are you doing in Edinburgh, sir?
I jumped ship in Bristol, a few adventures in that port, and then travelled north.
You have a history here.
Jean, how would you like a bit of mischief?
I'm a respectable woman now.
You mean your blood runs slow?
What kind of mischief?
Now, where did I put it? There she is. My kit bag. There. What do you think to this?
That looks like trouble.
But who inherits? I have a name in mind. What was that?
Well, it's no the peacocks.
No. Nothing but the moonlight.
You seem somewhat excitable, Mr. Brennan.
It's a potent undertaking, Mistress Brash.
You're right. My blood has been running slow. You have a name in mind, you said.
Perception is a shifty business. When I was a child, I was always intrigued by the possibilities at the edge of my vision. Out of the corner of the eye, there was another world where the outlines blurred, where truth and reality changed shape. But then as I grew older, such a prospect alarmed me, and I learned to keep my eyes fixed on the object before, especially if it were one of the criminal fraternity. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, and I would not welcome the prospect of someone I was about to arrest altering form like Proteus, should I glance a moment away. The city is quiet at the moment, like an old man dozing in the sun. Leith, my parish, especially so. A calm before the storm. Somewhere the lines are in alteration, shapes bending into themselves to emerge as... What? To paraphrase the great poet Milton, I have a feeling that shortly all hell will break loose. Of course, this might also be to do with my inner digestive composition. 4 cups of strong coffee this night in conflict with the hairy tatties I had earlier at the tavern. Jean Brash, who keeps the best bodies in Edinburgh and makes the finest brew, is forever telling me to sip, not gulp at my coffee. But I cannot, and so it proceeds with my life. Quiet days do not suit me.
I have received a communication from the Bristol police, McCleavy.
A fine body of men.
But not a patch on Leith, sir.
As you say, Constable Mulholland, not a patch. It could never contend with the somnolence of this place.
Only Sergeant Murdoch could sleep at the desk, sir.
It is everywhere, James. I woke up this morning, I felt as if I were wading through treacle.
I was exactly the same. A terrible dream.
I rose like a lark, Lieutenant.
You had the lusty widow to contemplate.
The woman was part of an investigation.
She lingered on after the case.
We are no longer in contact.
Indeed. My wife tells me that Mistress Murdison has found contentment in another's arms.
She was never in mine.
And who would that be, Lieutenant?
A Norwegian sea captain, I believe, a whaler.
Blubber. That explains all.
Hilarious.
And quite enough to business. Bristol, a bank robbery, large sum, new notes.
Not easy to pass into circulation, then.
Exactly. A suggestion, the trail may lead northwards. We must be on the alert, if possible, amidst this tedium. A terrible dream, you said, Inspector.
I found a treasure chest under the water. Uh-huh. I lifted the lid and a mermaid emerged. Gave me a bag of gold coins. When I held them, they changed into a pile of squirmy, slimy eels. What do you make of that?
Too much coffee.
And a bad conscience.
I don't
call this a breakfast.
Hannah Semple, are you my wife?
Donald McKeever, I am indeed. Oh, welcome back, even if it's just a bonny hoose.
A palace to me, Hannah. The just land where you reign supreme.
Tell that to Mrs. Brash. Where have you been, you muddy great gout?
Gambling hard and making money.
Where?
Well, here and there, the West Country.
Did you win at table?
I did indeed, Hannah. My luck has changed since I married you. I have brought the finest pastries in Leith. We shall have hot chocolate together.
I'll take the mistress her coffee first. The girls are lost in sleep.
Innocent lambs.
Up to something, the mistress.
How so?
She had a visitor last night.
I'll start the chocolate.
Do so. Glad to have you back in my bed, Donald McKeever.
Glad to be there.
I've been hearing funny noises in the garden.
Ghosties, maybe?
Animal, mare like.
Wolves, owls!
You're in grand form.
I also have something on my mind, Hannah, and if I bring it off, I will make my name and reputation.
You're never at peace.
Would you have me any other way?
A great surprise, Jean Brash.
Life is full of them.
There is bad blood between us.
That was a time ago.
Blood runs deep.
You mistreated one of my girls.
I paid her well, before and after. And it was not within your establishment, a private commission.
Her mistake, but that is not why I am here. This is business, Mr. Grant.
Ah, and now you speak my language.
A friend of mine has in his possession a large amount of paper currency.
How splendid for him.
But it requires a certain distribution.
I see. Would I be correct in assuming that though legal enough tender, it might have been acquired in illegal circumstances?
Not by my friend.
Not at all. Do you like cigars?
At a distance.
I find them most stimulating. Who is this friend?
You know him. Jack Brennan.
The plot thickens. Sailor Jack suffered much at my hand these many years ago. At least, that is what people say, although I had nothing whatsoever to do with the incident. But suffer he did, badly. Why should he come to me?
You're the only man with power enough.
I am a simple shipping merchant.
You know every crime that happens in this country.
Only the large ones.
No one knows the extent of your authority, sir. Only you can handle such volume.
Yes. Wish I could do it, but it will cost.
That's Brennan's problem. At the moment, he may as well burn the damned stuff.
I do not trust you, Jean Brash.
I would not expect such, Caleb Grant.
Tell Brennan to come to this address, written tomorrow night, with samples of his wares. 35 Salamander Street, down by the docks. 7 of the evening, prompt.
Thank you, kind sir.
Jean, why are you doing this?
I have a soft spot for sailor boys.
If you twist me, it'll go bad with you.
I tremble at the prospect.
That wasn't funny, sir.
What have I done now?
You put me in tandem with the lusty widow. Kindly don't do it again, please.
Anything to keep the peace. Donald McKeever, back in our fair city, eh?
Indeed I am, Inspector, and happy to be so. Fine morning for a constitutional...
Isn't it, Jess? What do you say, Mr. Brennan?
Glad to get back on dry land, Inspector.
I didn't realise that you two had acquaintance, Donald.
We've met at table over the years. Mr. Brennan likes a wager.
Is that so? What are you doing here?
Oh, I am married to an Edinburgh woman, Inspector.
How is Mistress Semple?
I left her with a smile on her face and about her work.
No rest in a body house. And you, sir?
Merely passing through.
It's been a long time, Jack. You two are together as just
Happenstance, eh? No more, no less. I was wending my way past the Great Eastern Hotel when out he popped.
The Great Eastern? That's no small beer.
I was paid handsomely for my last voyage. Money to burn.
We're off to Leith Links, back some horses.
Good way to burn it, right enough.
Not this time. Lady Luck smiles upon me, Constable. Now, you must excuse us. We have to cast our eyes over equine flesh and wager accordingly.
I have a strawberry filly in mind. Trust she may bring me a rich fortune. Good day to you, sirs.
Strawberry filly, eh?
What happened to Brennan? I only heard some stories.
Jack Brennan was a wild young devil who played merry hell with the pretty girls, but then Sailor Jack went too far.
Always a danger.
As you well know. One night, down by the docks in the pitch dark, he was set upon by a pack of gallow breeds and beaten to an inch of his life.
Who was behind it all?
Oh, a name or two mentioned, but no proof. And he had covered half the city, daughters, wives, mistresses. Take your choice from a deal of vengeful men. As soon as he was able to walk, he left Edinburgh, and now he's back.
A wiser man.
We'll see.
Do you feel that, Marland?
What?
The east wind. The east wind rising and chicanery in the air. Just how I like it.
You're late, Bark, mistress.
Affairs of state, Hannah. I'm starving hungry.
A decent breakfast, it's all that.
What is there to eat?
Cold porridge.
Ugh. Aha, a butter pastry. Mm.
Your man came back.
Who?
The one that was here last night.
Jack Brennan. And I just left a note at his hotel. Ships that pass in the night.
I threw Donald out because the girls were all half dressed, but I saw him meet up with Brennan at the gate.
Mm, that pastry was delicious.
They were like old comrades.
Paths may cross. Jack likes to gamble.
So does Donald, but I don't. And you're up to something.
Me?
You have a sneaky look to your eye.
It's windy.
Mistress, you are a grown woman, and what you get up to is your own business, but I don't want my Donald in your machinations.
Hannah Semple, I have no intention of involving your Donald in any of my so-called machinations. What the hell's that?
Mary Rantoul, one of the new girls. She's supposed to be in the garden hanging out the bed linen.
I had no idea the process was so dramatic.
Mary Rantoul, what the hell's the matter with you?
Oh, Hannah, it's a terrible thing.
Calm down, Mary. Now, what's wrong?
Oh, Mistress Brash, I'm that sorry. I don't know how to tell you.
Where are you from, girl?
Fife.
I thought they bred them hardy over there.
Oh, dear. Ow!
Now, wipe your snottery nose and tell us plain.
I was hanging out the washing and the wind blew and my face was full of blood.
Blood?
And bodily remnants.
Show us where, Mary.
Oh, no.
Do you want another belt round the ear?
No. I'll show you. I'll show you. It comes over here. I hint the bushes.
Oh, I don't like the sound of this.
It's a sorry track, right enough.
It's no my fault, mistress.
Just lead us on.
Here. Oh, dearie me. Oh.
That looks like murder.
Well, Mr. Nugent?
The currency is genuine. Bank of England, £50 notes.
Good. Anything else?
No. Merely genuine.
Splendid.
There's a spot more where they came from.
You may depart, Mr. Nugent. I shall see you in the morning, bright and early.
I shall open the office as always, Mr. Grant, and await your instructions. Good night, gentlemen.
Well, Jack Brennan, it would seem you need a favour from me.
The favour cuts both ways.
I had a pretty little mistress, the apple of my eye, and you bedded her, enticed her, and seduced, without so much as a bow your leave.
I was young, impulsive.
The apple of my eye.
Caleb, let honesty hold sway. The only thing you care about is money.
And power. I like to watch the monkey jump. How high can you jump, Sailor Jack?
I suffered for my indiscretions.
Indeed. A dreadful thrashing. Not of my making, I can assure you.
It does no good to live in the past.
I would agree, sir. You look prosperous, Jack. Where are you lodging? With Jean Brash?
One of the big hotels.
Prosperous indeed. What is she to do with all this?
I asked her to act as an honest broker.
Honest? A whore, mistress. What is the sum you possess in these notes?
Near £5,000.
Mm-hmm. I will offer 1/5 of your holding.
1/5? That is beyond iniquity.
In your hands, the money is worthless. I can place it abroad, but that takes time, energy, expense. Take or leave.
But it's...
daylight robbery. Make up your mind. Take or leave, sir.
I will bring it. When and where?
Here, tomorrow night. This house is safe. No one connects me to it, but don't think you have advantage on me, sir. I will take precautions.
I am not a man of violence.
9 o'clock, alone, under cover of darkness. I like the dark, Mr. Brennan.
You've obviously never been in a storm at sea. I bid you good night, sir.
How high can you jump, Sailor Jack?
There's evidence of crime, sure enough.
I could have told you that.
Who discovered these artifacts?
Mary Rantoul, a new girl.
Fetch her out, will you, please?
I'll do so, but she can hardly string two words together at the base of the thing.
So the trail led here to the bushes.
Where there is a convention of blood and feathers.
Ox, maybe?
I've had the whole garden searched, and there's not a trace of body. Flesh or bone. What fox could go off with 6 big peacocks slung over its shoulder?
That makes sense, I suppose.
Could it be a kidnap, maybe?
More likely in a pot.
Who would eat a whole peacock?
Go ahead. Tell the inspector.
I went, then I saw. Oh, terrible.
Mary Rantoul, come stand before me. Other than a trail of feathers, do you observe anything else?
Nothing. I don't know any such about peacocks. We don't have the beasts in Fife.
Uh-huh. A pretty blouse you wear. But the collar's got tucked in. Here. There. That's better now.
Thank you, Inspector.
Look to my eyes. Have you told me the whole truth?
I swear it. On my mother's grave.
Leave the girl alone, MacLeavy, and tell me what you intend to do about all this.
You sent a note to the station. I came to investigate, as is my duty. I will make report when I get back.
To what end?
Disappearance of 6 peacocks from a body house. Gather the evidence, Mulholland.
I need a sack.
I'll get you one, sir.
That's nice.
And then what?
Jean, it's not the most important case I've ever undertaken.
You see this coffee pot, MacLeavy?
I do.
You see your head?
You need a mirror for that.
You find out the fate of my peacocks, or don't come back into this garden ever again. Don't come back, or I'll clatter you.
This is not like Jean Brash.
Well, maybe I'm changing before your very eyes.
No often we see you in the tavern, Mr. Grant.
And now and again, I must remind myself of my humble beginnings. Over the years, Mr. Packard, you have rendered various services.
And never failed you, sir.
Never will, I trust. In the early days of our acquaintance, you undertook a task for me concerning a certain Jack Brennan.
I remember it well. We took turns. I kicked my fill that night.
Well, the sailor boy is back in Edinburgh.
Has not learnt since.
He is staying at one of the big hotels. Find out where, and follow him all day tomorrow. Do not be discovered. Report back to me everything he accomplishes.
I will perform as instructed, sir.
Here, buy yourself a decent whiskey for a change.
As instructed, sir. What about you, Mr. Grant?
I have other vices.
When Jean faced me in the garden with that coffee pot in hand, I was put in mind of the first time we clapped sight on each other. A constable then, and she, a new magpie on the streets. Some man had attacked her in one of the wines, and she'd cracked the bottle over his head. When I came upon the scene, she turned on me, broken glass in hand, eyes green with fury. I booted the fellow out of the wine, and says she to me, "I hear tell you're Jamie MacLeavy, a terrible man for violence." And I says to her, "Violence? Nothing compared to you, lassie." Then we went our separate ways. for a wee while in that garden, it was as if we had returned to the past. Or could it be the past has come back to stick a knife into the present? She's up to something. Jean Brash is up to something nefarious, as sure as the devil's toenails. And could it be connected with Jack Brennan? He mentioned a strawberry filly, and Jean's hair is red as the Pope's socks. And if so, what are they up to? And where does Donald McKeever, if he comes in, come in? We could be back to the bad old days. Wouldn't that be a thing?
And where is Inspector McClavy, if I may be so bold?
He's examining evidence, sir.
Where is he doing that?
In the cold room, Lieutenant.
And what is he examining?
Peacock feathers, sir.
Explain, please.
Harm having been visited upon half a dozen ornamental birds.
I wasn't aware we were responsible for the well-being of the leaf avifauna. To whom do these creatures belong?
Jean Brash.
We spend the valuable resources of Leith Station on behalf of a body housekeeper.
The inspector was most insistent. I couldn't get the microscope out of his hands.
What? That is for the exclusive use of the police sergeant.
Charlie is my darling.
Has it come to this, McClavy?
Come to what, sir?
Feathers, for God's sake.
A crime is a crime, sir. Hand the tweezers, Constable.
That microscope is sacrosanct.
Here you are, Inspector.
Thank you. I'm sure the police sergeant won't mind, long as it's no his claret I'm taking. Now, see what I have found amid the debris, Constable.
Animal hair is fine. Silver grey.
It so happens I have some others in my possession.
I saw you collect them.
Oh, no getting past you, Mulholland. Look through the microscope. Tell me what you think.
It's an exact match.
Let me see. Exact enough. What does it mean?
It gives me reason to go back to the Just Land.
To do what?
Poke about, sir. Poke about.
There's more to this than feathers, is there not?
I hope so, Lieutenant.
Oh, go away and do it then, but clear up my mess from the slab.
Snap to it, Mulholland.
That's me right enough. Nothing but a scaffy man.
McClavy, I have a bone to pick with you.
To do with what, sir?
That dream you had about the mermaid, I had some of the same. Only, instead of eels, the coins turned into an octopus.
That's very interesting, sir. Tell me, was Mrs. Roach in the bed?
That's none of your business.
What about the mermaid?
What about her?
Did she have a tail?
Naturally, flaxen hair, blue eyes, and small of stature.
What about her bosom?
I beg your pardon.
Was it uncovered?
Certainly not. There were strands of seaweed.
Ah, we differ in that.
Oh, what does it all mean, McClavy?
Oh, it's a picture created by our minds, coming from the depths. But what it signifies is a mystery. We must both share, Lieutenant.
All bagged up, sir.
I don't want to share anything with you, McClavy, so keep your dreams to yourself and get the hell out of here.
Have another buttery biscuit.
Already scoffed four, Donald.
A wee French cake, then.
Oh, anything to make you happy.
This is the life, eh, Hannah?
As long as it lasts.
What do you mean?
Are you in hugger-mugger with the mistress and Jack Brennan?
Not at all. I've hardly exchanged two words with Jean Brash, except to commiserate about her peacocks.
But you've had plenty of words with him.
We're gaming companions, just a bet on the races.
Did you win?
Almost. We shall recoup our losses this afternoon.
You spoke of something that would make your name.
It is a plan still forming in my mind.
A plan of what?
I don't like to speak of four lest it bring bad luck.
You have a sneaky look in your eye.
And you have a dot of chocolate in your nose.
That's no possible.
Look in the mirror.
Oh, oh my God. What do I resemble?
Yeah, my handkerchief.
Thank you. Oh, all right. I'll accept your word. Here's your hanky back.
Thank you. Now, shall we finish up our drinks, pay the reckoning, link arms, and walk along the thoroughfares of Leith like a respectable married couple?
A body housekeeper and a gambling man?
A handsome pair so deep in love.
Donald, you say the boniest things. And who knows, but one day I might even get round to believing in them.
Oh, Hamish, you've got me into terrible trouble. I'll have to light a candle to the Holy Mother.
Mary Rintoul.
I hope to find you hereabouts.
How did you get to this place?
I remarked when you went to fetch the sack for the constable here, you ran down the outside steps of the cellar as if you could find it in the dark.
It's where they keep the sacks.
And we passed them by on the way to this wee room at the back, whence we heard your voice.
In conversation.
There's nobody here. I talk to myself.
What do you hide behind you?
Nothing. I swear it.
You'd best stand aside, Miss Rintoul.
Oh, dearie me.
Well, well. What have we here?
A ferret. Silver in colour. Fine and dandy.
So would you be if you just slaughter 6 peacocks.
Oh, dear. Poor Hamish.
The beast's name?
Aye. I was given him for my 13th birthday. Couldn't he leave him? He would have pined and died. How did you know it was him?
When I tucked away your collar, I noticed some hairs on the shoulder, so I took a wee sample, finger and thumb.
The inspector is good at that.
I found some similar amongst the feathers. Ferret, weasel, polecat of some kind.
So, here we all are, Miss Rintoul.
Us girls are no allowed pets, in case the clients get jealous. I smuggled him in and kept him here in his cage. Let him out in the dark. Hamish likes the dark.
Nocturnal. My Aunt Katie had a ferret.
Nice wee beasts, but they've got bloodlust. The night before, it was a full moon. He tracked them to the bushes. Oh, my God, it was a carnage.
What did you do with the bodies?
Shoved them into sacks and hid them further back the room there.
Do they not smell?
No, yet. And they keep the cheese next door.
That's handy.
I didn't know what else to do. But when I was hanging out the morning linen, there was this gust of wind and it blew all these bloody feathers in my face and I just screamed.
Then Jean Brash came running and all else followed.
Oh, she'll kill me.
Something like that.
I'll lose my position. Break my heart.
You'd like it here.
Clean and tidy. Regular hours. Good food and money. Just like your job, sir.
Better proposition. Save the one drawback.
No, I'm going to lose it. All for this wee damned ferret.
Well, what do you think, Constable?
We could sneak the peacocks out and supposedly discover them in one of the wines in the back streets.
A kidnap gone wrong.
As long as Jean had the bodies, she could bury them. A proper funeral.
You'll have to get rid of Hamish.
I'll put him out to nature. Oh, Inspector, if you did that, I'd be your friend for life.
I've never had one of those.
What about me?
Oh, I could faint clean away. That night when I heard their voices, I thought I was going to die.
What voices?
Well, I just dumped the birds in the cellar and I came back to get Hamish. The window opened. I had to grab him close and hide under, up against the wall. I was terrified.
Who was it then?
The mistress and some man above. She called him Mr. Brennan.
Jack Brennan? And what did the voices say, Mary?
They were talking about high finance, a risky business, and someday we'd get what they were due.
Who might that be?
A man. It was a kind of biblical name.
The good book has many uses, Mary. Close your eyes and wait for revelation.
Great Eastern Hotel, Mr. Grant. Left in the morning, walked the streets, eyeing the ladies.
That is his predilection.
In the afternoon he spent at the races with a boon companion.
Jean Brash?
No, a man. A gambling type. Donald McKeever. They made a killing, the lucky buggers. Bet high and won well.
Bet high?
A deal of money waved around.
Was it new currency?
Well, not to my notice.
I wonder how much Mr. McKeever has to do with all this.
No great menace. A spindly specimen.
And Brennan, a man of no violence.
So, what should I accomplish?
Don't spare the effort, sir. Let generosity be the keynote.
This coffee, is it? Is grace.
By what fashion?
Paltry. Acrid. Lacks all vigour of aroma.
You like your pleasures strong.
Stronger than this.
Well, I shall inform the Great Eastern Hotel.
How are you feeling, Mr. Brennan?
Oh, able-bodied, Mistress Brash. My kit bag packed and ready.
Stuffed with money in full public. You are a mad mortal indeed.
Well, who would suspect a man with a kit bag on his shoulder? I have but one disappointment thus far.
Perhaps tonight, after the event.
All I ask is one kiss.
That is all you will receive. I assume you have not taken Donald McKeever into your confidence.
Not at all. Why do you ask?
Hannah is concerned he may become implicated.
We bet together. Lose and win. No more.
I'm glad to hear it.
But Jean, one thing. I shall be moving on.
It is your fate.
And yours to remain here in Edinburgh. You will have made an enemy. A bad enemy.
A rich man paid a young magpie by the name of Rose Duncan to perform out of hours, away from the protection of her body house. He took his pleasure by beating her savagely about the body where it didn't show. One of my girls. She never quite recovered.
A debt to be honoured.
Caleb Grant, the revealed name from Mary Rintoul.
Never managed to nail him.
Operates in high circles, Beholland, and aye covers his back.
What would Sailor Jack be doing with him?
It will not be a small affair. Grant presents himself as a respectable shipping merchant, but he is a cornucopia of criminality.
Oh, wing was picked up.
And so has the devilment. See who's just come out of the hotel.
Jean Brash.
And Jack Brennan.
Parting company by the looks.
Right enough. Off you go, Jeanie, in your carriage. But Witherbound is still a Jack. Come on, Mulholland. It's been a wee while since we walked shadow to a suspect. Try to make yourself inconspicuous.
I'll get behind you, sir. That will provide cover aplenty.
Oh, aye. He was heading for the docks, right enough. But now he deviates.
Salamander Street. The only thing here is the slaughterhouse.
Uh-huh. Many a throat cut, many a howling animal, but there are some houses for the damnation. He's in like a flash. Did you glimpse anything?
Not a chance.
Number 35, curtains all drawn. Not a chink of light. Shabby wee house.
On the script, to be sure.
No point banging on the door, no chance kicking in the window.
Well, could be a long wait on a damp night.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Let us hunker down in this doorway. Do you have any provender?
A scrap.
What a pity. I have made myself a cheese and pickles sandwich.
Looks like half a loaf.
My mouth is watering already.
Oh, I didn't think ahead.
Anticipation is all, Mulholland.
Get a move on, man. What are you doing now?
Checking for authenticity, sir.
You have previously checked. Now, scan through and stack them up.
Very well.
Mr. Nugent is a scrupulous man.
Well...
Somewhat hasty reckoning, but I would venture the amount to be the aforementioned £5,000.
In that case, Brennan, here is your payment. 1/5 of that in used notes.
Into the kit bag, draw the string, and off to new adventures.
You may leave by the front door. Mr. Nugent will lock it after. Goodbye.
A pleasure doing business, sir.
Goodbye, Mr. Brennan.
Oh, and Caleb. The pretty little mistress of yours that I enticed and seduced. I needed no such persuasion. She came running. Good night, sir.
Put the money in my hold, or let us leave at once, Mr. Nugent, by the back door.
Very well, sir. Mr. Brennan seems a bright spark.
Let us hope he will prosper. But the streets are dangerous, Mr. Nugent. Dangerous.
Oh, that cheese was mouldy.
Lucky you got anything at all. Wait. Is that our man?
It is indeed. Sailor Jack, kit bag on his shoulder.
We'll just step out lightly.
Hold on, sir. Someone on his trail.
Eh? You're right. What's going on here? Get your stick ready, Mulholland. Any violence, I'm right behind you.
That's a comforting thought.
Just like the last time, eh, sailor boy? Let's have a look in here. Oh, well, 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 this is my lucky night.
I don't think so, my money. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, and you are under arrest for deep assault and robbery.
McCleavy, you can go to hell. Ah!
You're a wonder with that thing, Constable.
All in the wrist, sir.
Manacle him up. Now, how is Mr. Brennan? Jack? Jack? You're no under arrest so far. Wake up.
Out cold. Concussed, no doubt.
I hardly touched him.
Shut up, you. We'll have to get Brennan to the hospital, sir.
Ach, just take him to the station and pour some cold
concussion
water.
Concussion can be lethal. If the man dies, do you want that on your conscience?
All right, all right.
Sir, This kid bag is rolling with money.
Is it? So it is. When you awaken, you have some explaining to do, Mr. Brennan.
We could split it three ways.
I told you to shut up!
Oh!
All right, one to the hospital, the other to the cells.
We need reinforcements.
The watch will be lurking somewhere, and I shall call them. You have your stick, Mulholland, and I have my whistle.
This is a deal of money, Inspector.
It is indeed, sir.
What about the assailant?
Henry Buchan, hired thug and bully boy.
Hired? By whom?
One name that comes to mind particular is Caleb Grant. I know that Buchan has worked for him as a debt enforcer.
Grant, he's a slippery creature.
I have hammered at Buchan, but his mouth is tight closed.
What is your surmise in all this?
A transaction. £1,000 in used notes in exchange for stolen goods.
What stolen goods?
Brennan's last port of call was Bristol.
A bank robbery. New notes for old.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And the scale would indicate Grant. He is rumoured to be one of the biggest fences in the country.
Yes, but we have no proof, nothing. It is all surmise, all hocus-pocus, not a shred of evidence. And how would Brennan get his hands on that kind of stolen money?
That is what I intend to ask, Sailor Jack, when he wakens up.
Inspector, I just went back to the hospital to check on Jack Brennan's condition.
And?
I have some bad news, sir. Very bad news.
Oh.
I don't doubt, but these ribs are cracked.
Bind them up best you can.
How the hell did McCleavy turn up?
Just as well, for my sake.
Right enough, but the man's a menace. There. That should hold.
Thank you.
You kept your wits clear, I'll say that.
It was my only hope. Pretend to be out for the count. Wait my chance at the hospital.
Surprised he didn't throw you in the cells.
Well, the inspector was all for it. But Mulholland has a kinder heart.
He'll pay for it.
Lucky the nurse left my clothes in the room and the constable of the watch was asleep.
You have to go now, Jack. The carriage waits at the back entrance and a ship sails for Holland within the hour.
I thank you, Jean Brash. A grand scheme.
It was. A pity.
Yes. There I was in a tavern in Bristol, talking to an old friend who exercises a skillful craft and had produce to sell. Then another approaches, desperate, on the run, also with a little something to sell. I buy both, and a name comes to mind.
Caleb Grant. A sweet revenge.
But I reckon without his treachery.
Goodbye, Jack Brennan.
Goodbye, Jean Brash. Am I allowed one kiss before departure?
Make it quick, sailor boy.
I'm afraid I have unfortunate tidings, Mr. Grant.
My cup runneth over. I have already lost a valuable associate, my Mr. Buchan, and the contents of Jack Brennan's kit bag.
Oh, dear.
Unfortunate tidings, you said?
Yes.
Well?
You will recall that last night sufficient time was not provided for me to properly scrutinize the produce on hand.
Get on with it, man.
This morning I have been able to examine the notes in the cold light of day.
What are you trying to say, Mr. Nugent?
While the outer layers of each bundle of notes is genuine enough, the inner pith, so to speak, is a forgery. An excellent forgery, but false nonetheless.
How much?
In genuine notes, not above £300. By my calculation, on proper value, you are lacking 4,700.
Plus, of course, 1,000, which now resides at the police station.
That also must be taken into account. I am sorry, sir.
The fault was mine, Mr. Nugent. Eyes bigger than my stomach. Go back to your desk.
I can only regret this with all my heart.
Go back to your desk.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Who was in it with you, Jack? Jean Brash, Donald McKeever? You no doubt have left the city, but they remain, and vengeance must be taken. Yes, I think that may well be in order, a suitable
retribution.
In Brodie's wine, do you see?
That's where we found them. Inside a bag. They're with you in the cold room at the station.
Could you not have brought them up?
They're beginning to decompose. The cold room will maintain them for a while, but I think your carriage at speed and a swift burial is the best resolution.
I'll arrange it. Who would kidnap a peacock?
The world is full of degenerate minds. Is that Mary Rintoul hanging at the washing?
I've put her in sole charge of linen, sheets, bolsters and general upkeep of the bed accoutrements of the house. Mary has no talent for her proper profession. She seems a lot happier now.
I'm sure she is. What were you doing outside the Great Eastern with Jack Brennan?
Saying goodbye. He had invited me for coffee, and I had made a disastrous mistake.
How so?
The coffee. I drank it. Terrible.
Jack Brennan carried a load of money last night.
I heard the rumours.
There was also a rumour that Caleb Grant might be involved.
Is that so?
And yourself, Jean Brash, and perhaps Donald McKeever, one of the crew as well.
Donald McKeever had nothing to do with it.
How would you know?
Hannah wouldn't let him get into mischief. She'd cut his throat first.
And what about yourself?
I had no part in it either. And what is this crime anyway?
I think it's to do with the bank robbery in Bristol, but I don't yet know.
There's a lot you don't know, McCleavy.
But I shall find it out. Jack Brennan feigned unconsciousness. If it hadn't been for kindness shown, he would never have made that hospital.
Mulholland's a decent soul.
Who said it was him?
Well, it wouldn't be you, would it?
I don't trust you, Jean Brash.
And I don't trust you, James McCleavy, especially about my peacocks.
What do you mean?
You had a sleek it look in your eye.
But so have you.
That's them all hung up now, mistress. I'll go and make the beds.
Please do so, Mary.
That east wind is fair whipping the sheets. A lovely day.
I have a feeling of deep foreboding. Hell has not yet broken loose except upon Mulholland, who's been visited with the wrath of both the lieutenant and I for his unconscionable kindness to a suspect. But there is more to come. The wheel is in motion, the turn not yet complete. Jean and I are back to the bad old days where we regard each other with deep suspicion, back to what we once were. Part of me rejoices at such, and part regrets it deeply. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police. I hope that I sleep well tonight and do not dream of mermaids or what they have to offer. The wheel is in motion. I'll watch it spin, and when it stops, I'll be in at the kill.
In episode 3 of McCleavy, Inspector McCleavy was played by Brian Cox. Jean Brash was played by Siobhan Redmond. Constable Mulholland by Michael Percival Maxwell. Lieutenant Roach by David Ashton. Hannah by Colette O'Neill. Caleb Grant by Graham Crowden. Donald McKeever by Andrew Neil, Jack Brennan by Robin Laing, Nugent by Lewis Howden, and Mary Rintoul by Molly Innes. Other parts were played by members of the cast. McCleavy was written by David Ashton and directed by Patrick Rayner.